want to acknowledge Deacon and Sister Ellison for all of their hard work, along with all the members of the Brotherhood and the Women's Mission Union. Would you give them a big round of applause? We are thankful to your service, not just to Ebenezer, but to a global cause for Christ, for providing for those in need and giving the message that is extended to us through grace and peace through Christ to all of the world. We are thankful for the mission and for the Brotherhood and for all of the work that they have done. And I also want to thank Sister Jones and all those that were on program today. Would you give them a big round of applause as well for helping lead us in worship? We thank you, and we continuously pray for you and for our servant leaders here at Ebenezer. I want to continue in that passage that Sister Jones read from Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 11 through 18, going more into depth about the message of grace and how that applies to us as a church body, a church family. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 11 through 18. Whether it's in your Bibles or on the screens ahead, would you follow along with me now? Therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and who has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we have both access to the Father by one Spirit. I want to talk to you from this subject this morning, family ties. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we thank you because you are a God who never fails. You abide in us. You abide with us. You give us victory through the cross. Lord, we ask that you would now govern our hearts to hear from you. Open our minds that we may take this message and share it with someone else. Lord, I ask for your preaching power. Convict me that I may stand in your truth. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Sister Jones. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body of human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I've shared with you before, and for those of you who may not know, I come from a huge family. My grandmother is the oldest girl of 17. My grandfather is in the middle of 17. On both sides of our family, when we trace our history, there are more than 700 of us on both sides of the family. There are more than 1,400 of us that are alive. Different names, different backgrounds, different social status in life. Different, but family. We have a huge family. Matter of fact, when I went home this past week, I found myself not being able to remember everybody's name. Y'all looking at me, but y'all don't know some names in your own family. Y'all haven't talked to somebody in a long time. You couldn't tell everything about everybody. You know that you related. Hey, cousin. Hey, how you doing? But you don't know how you related. And, you know, in family, you may get together once a year, twice a year, right? Family reunions. And there are issues when you get together. There are different backgrounds when you get together. Now, don't look at me like your family ain't dysfunctional either. Everybody has some dysfunction in family, right? I mean, it's what makes family family. You love through the differences. You know, some people may be out there in the world. Everybody's not saved in your family. Not everybody's saved in my family. I have three younger brothers, one older brother, and we are all different. It's just the way that life is. Family can not only be a blessing, but it can be a burden. Right? I mean, you know, it's easy to kiss and to love, but when somebody asks you for money, I'm sorry, cuz, I don't got it this time, you know. I'll get it to you next time. Uh-huh. There are issues in families. There are differences in family, but we love despite. There's something that ties us together, something that brings us back to Big Mama's house, to Grandma's house, to Grandma's house, to Big Daddy's house, to Grandfather's house, to Uncle's house, and to everybody else that we associate with in our family. There's something that holds us together. And it is the same in the church. Something holds us together that ties the bonds of family. We all have issues. We all have baggage. We all have something that we are ashamed about. And when we come into church, how you doing? Good to see you. May not be able to remember everybody's name. May know something about somebody that, you know, may keep you from a little distance. But there's something that ties us to each and every person in the church. But there are issues. And in the text today, there is an issue. It is a letter written to the church at large. Instead of this community, small community of believers that is so often attributed to Paul, in this text, in this letter, the author, the writer, addresses a focus of circumcision. The outward appearance, the outward flesh. And the writer says that some people have separated themselves because of what's on the outside. It traces itself back to the time of Abraham in Genesis. The text speaks of the circumcision from Genesis. It goes way back to Genesis. The problems that are occurring now in the text goes back centuries. Your problem is not new. Your issue is not new. Your embarrassment is not new. What's done under the dark will come to the light, but it ain't new. They can trace circumcision back to the time of Abraham. When God commanded Abraham to circumcise himself, his household, and all of the slaves, he said, do this to show your allegiance to me. And there are some things in our family, in our church, that we hold on to from centuries ago that divide us now. We didn't always have money. You didn't always have your stuff together. You didn't always know the rules and regulations of the church. You didn't always know the governing laws that bind us together by statutes, constitutions. No. Instead of separating ourselves, the text says that you should forget about the outer and focus on the inner. Let's think about family, right? In family, sometimes we judge people what they look like, what they used to be, what they used to do, how they used to act. And the author says, you've been called out by those who consider themselves in. These barriers are by small groups of people who want to do their own thing, their own way. And circumcision is not something that was wrong. By all means, God ordained it. God commanded it. But the author says when you follow something that hurts your loved one, that hurts your family, then it's not godly at all. Holding on to something that was old in order to preserve something that hinders you from moving forward is not in his will. Now listen, it's okay to be traditional. It's okay to have a system that works, but there's always somebody who steps out and points out something when things start to grow. Somebody always trying to pull you back, holding on to something. We're talking about circumcision now, okay? We're talking about the text. Pull you back into something that really was only designed to show God in the first place. When you forget the message of God, when you forget God in your tradition, in your statutes, when you don't care about your family, when you say things that hurt one another, then it's not God at all. And the writer says, the only thing that binds us together is that we have Christ. We have the message of reconciliation. And we don't have to have Christ in front of us to do that. We don't have to have Jesus on the cross, images of him suffering, to be reminded of grace. We see grace all around us, and yet we ignore it. Grace lives in our hearts. It is natural. Kids are not natural to hate. Let me say that again. Kids do not grow up with hate. They learn to hate. We learn these things. We are taught things that separate us, but it is natural for us to be united. Quit allowing stuff to separate your family, our family. This message is to the church. It's a message that you can take home. Surely you can go home and reconcile with somebody as you come into this new year, into this new decade. Do you realize that we're stepping out of a decade of God's grace for us? Then what makes us think that we can extend that same grace to somebody else? Go home and reconcile with somebody you haven't been talking to, boo-boo and Shanae and Jonesy Boy, you know, Billy Bob. I hope I didn't call anybody's name in here. But reconcile with those in the church. If you have a problem, go to your brother. Go to your sister. And extend grace. The thing that ties us together is the cross. And it's so poetically put that I don't have to preach it. Just let me read it to you. For he himself is our peace, who has made two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. I close by saying this to you this morning. For greeting of the guest, at the end, before we stand to greet one another, I say to each of you, let us greet each other in the peace and love of Christ, the peace and grace of Christ. And that is because when you greet one another through the lens of grace, through the lens of peace, all can be well. When you greet somebody and you don't really want to look at them, you know, you turn your head when they're coming, you continue this wall, this cycle. There are too many walls talked about being built. There are too many families being divided in our country. Black, white, Hispanic. There are people being torn apart. Ebenezer, we are called to embody a family tie that cannot be broken. Would you stand with me before we receive our invitation? Just greet somebody in the peace and grace of Christ. Just greet them and love on them. Tell them it's good to see them and mean it, as our choir now sings for the invitation. As our deacons now come and our greeters come, we extend extend to you the invitation that binds us together. Deacons, won't you come? Greeters, won't you come? Perhaps you do not know him. Perhaps you want to belong to a community. We extend him to you now for the pardon of our sins and the renewal of our family. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. God, oh, praise God that he saved.